it didn't really hit me until this morning that this will be the last time that Rhea and I will be having communion with you for this season. And as some of you may know, we are leaving at the end of this month, and we are so thankful for all the love and support that you've given us. But it isn't my last week, okay? So it's not my last week. But we're so thankful, and this is a really special time for us. And I've been preaching a number of sermons. I also preached to the youth group on Friday. Just some final thoughts before I go. And something that I want to share about again with the church, especially now that we're starting the season of prayer and fasting, was I thought it would be appropriate to preach on prayer. I thought this is something that I would like to leave and just share my final thoughts with you on that. So what I want to talk about prayer, I want to say that prayer, as I read about it, seems to be an essential part of the Christian life. I don't read in the Bible that it's an extra bonus part. I don't read that it's supposed to be only for especially good Christians. Prayer is for everyone, and it is essential. It is much more than saying the right words on command. It is much more than just rehearsing, you know, words that are religious. If you study the Bible, what does it say about prayer? It says that prayer is not just words, but prayer is a way of living. And the challenge for us is to live lives that are filled with prayer. A lot of this message actually was inspired by a message that Pastor Charles spoke at the beginning of the year when he was preaching on Colossians chapter 4, and he was talking about, you know, at the end of Colossians, the Apostle Paul was just giving his regards to all of these wonderful leaders in the faith. And one verse that really stood out to me was Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, when Paul is talking about one of his faithful partners in ministry. And who is his faithful partner? His name is Epaphras. And if you read Colossians 4, 12, it says this very interesting thing, is that Epaphras spends his time wrestling in prayer. And I remember just when I saw those three words, it really just stood out to me. And I continue to think about it, and that's why I want to share with you today. Epaphras spent his time wrestling in prayer constantly, bringing up the Colossian church in his prayers with the hopes that they would always mature in the faith. And so this led me on a journey for the past month or so to think about why did Paul say that Epaphras wrestles in prayer? When I think of prayer, I don't think of wrestling. Do you think of wrestling matches when I say, let us pray? And then also today's passage reading of Ephesians chapter 6, if you notice, Ephesians, this letter, uses the images of war and of armor when talking about spiritual lives, and then it finishes this whole description of like spiritual life as this battle, as this warfare, and then it tells everyone to always pray at every occasion, to pray in the Spirit. And so when I read Ephesians, it's not just wrestling, but it seems like it's war. Prayer is war. And to connect warfare and prayer makes it sound like prayer is a battle. I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound very comforting. That doesn't sound very pleasant. To talk about prayer like a war makes it sound like it's threatening. It makes it sound like it's difficult. That requires great sacrifice. And I want to tell you today, I think if we take these scriptures seriously, that is exactly what it is saying, is that God calls us into a lifestyle that is very much like a battle at times. But the good news is that we have a commander-in-chief who is faithful to supply us with all the strength and the courage that we need. I was thinking about one professor I had who was sharing about how prayer is this time of meditation and silence. And then he said, you know, some people, I know some traditions, they say something about like being a prayer warrior. That sounds ridiculous, you know, like because prayer is about intimacy and relationship. And, you know, I did do sermons on prayer as relationship and intimacy. I do believe that ultimately. But you know what? I was really convinced today it's not just intimacy and relationship, just talking it out. Sometimes prayer is battle. You know, some of us might think of prayer today as, you know, I do this with the cool church kids, you know, because they're all just jumping over the, you know, it's like just a house full of monkeys, right? Let's pray. I got to tell them, okay, guys, you got to close your eyes just for a second. Put your hands together. Just for a moment, we're going to bless this food. It's pretty tough. But you know, some of us think that's the only way to pray with our eyes closed and our mouths quiet. But today's passage, if you take it seriously, it looks like prayer also requires a lot of strength, will, and action. And I think this is exactly what Paul was trying to communicate. If we are to live out lives that are renewed, strengthened, and guided by the Holy Spirit, we must commit ourselves to the life of wrestling in prayer, just like Epaphras did for the Colossian church. Because let me tell you something, everybody. Prayer doesn't just happen automatically. I know that personally. It is an ongoing battle where we bend our will to submit to God's will. And that's why we call it wrestling. Because sometimes our will doesn't want to bend. But prayer is about bending our will to God's will. We must wrestle our prayers into reality. I think it's unrealistic to think no matter how spiritual you are, it doesn't matter. Prayer just doesn't suddenly happen. There has to be some conscious decision on our part to say, we want to push things out of the way. We want to wrestle things from the floor so we make space for God to appear. There must be a part where we say, you know what? I'm going to clear the mat so that I can encounter God. Let me tell you, everything wants to get onto that mat of your life. And it requires some kind of choice on our part to say, I don't want anything else on this mat but God. And it's going to be a wrestling battle. And so today I wanted to talk about four ways that we're going to wrestle in prayer, if you look at prayer as wrestling. As you know me, I'm not a big guy. This is a very strange message for me to preach. But you know, all of us need to be strong. And you are strong in the Lord. Ephesians 6 encourages us, finally be strong in the Lord. And so let us kind of approach prayer with a new attitude today. And to encourage you, before I leave, one of the things that, we want to grow strong in everything, in CCC, of course. But if we want to grow strong in really something, we want to be strong in prayer. Amen? So let's be people who really know how to wrestle in prayer. Because these are the kinds of people that God uses. And so I'm going to talk about four different ways that we can pray. What kind of battle or wrestling must we face if we're going to be people filled with prayer? And so the first wrestling that I thought of was this. Number one, we must wrestle with our time. If you look in Luke chapter 22, verse 39, it says this. Jesus went out as usual, according to the New International Version. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. Or as another version puts it, as was his custom. When we read in Luke 22, verse 39, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives to pray. Other versions say, as was his custom, as was his regular routine. He often went out to pray. And this is amazing. Jesus, the Son of God, who said that whatever he sees the Father do, that's what his life is. He had perfect alignment with God's will. Someone who is as close to the Father as Jesus still sought for the time to meet him in prayer. He didn't take for granted, I've grown up with God. I'm God's son. I know how to do this. I know what he's going to say. He still took the time to meet with him. And this is a challenge for us. How are ways that we can wrestle away the dominance of our timetables and schedules so that we're continually finding time to meet with God? One of the hardest challenges I found with doing ministry on the East Coast is the battle of the schedule, the battle of the schedule book. There's so many ways that we want to grow in ministry, so many ways that we want to go forward, but the number one obstacle is always I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that. And it's amazing how busy we are, but we don't feel very productive at all. We're doing so much with our time, but it seems that we're doing so little in another way. And then the last thing that we want to do is spend time doing nothing, praying, because that's the most unproductive thing of all. At least when I'm doing something, I feel like I'm being productive. But Jesus, Every day he faced thousands and thousands of people dying to be healed, dying to hear the words of God. But before he did any of that, he stopped things and he said, you know what? This is a priority for me. As is my custom, I go away to pray to meet with the Father. I won't lie, I lose this wrestling match all the time, and I'm a pastor. But let's not be discouraged if time starts taking advantage of us. Let's just stop and say, you know what? You've been taking advantage of me this whole week, but now it's going to stop right now. I'm just going to pray. Just the other day, I was just looking at my little dog that I was walking around for about an hour, and I was thinking, like, why don't I just start praying right here? I'm just going to start praying. And I must have looked like a crazy person because, like, I just started praying out loud, like, walking the streets. But I was just thinking, let's just take advantage of every opportunity that we have. Let's wrestle away that empty time and say, this is a time for God. Let us use each day as an opportunity to wrestle. That sounds tiring, but it's interesting that when you wrestle with God for time, you get energy, you get clarity, you get wisdom. And so let us wrestle with our time and let us meet God wherever we can. The second thing I wanted to talk about was that we must wrestle with our attention, which is a little similar. Hosea chapter 6, verse 3 says this, "Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth." If you know a little bit about Hosea, they were in a time of exile, a time of great suffering and difficulty. And Hosea is calling people to get back their attention to God. Let us press on back to God. We've missed it. You know, I really recognize the reality of spiritual warfare. And I believe that, you know, Christians have three enemies. We have the enemy of the world. We have the enemy of our sinful natures, ourselves. And we also have the enemy known as Satan. And Satan loves to draw attention to himself if it means he can distract you from looking at God. And why is that? Why does Satan love to do this, using all these opportunities to get us to lose our attention towards God? Because the act of seeing God in our life, seeing the display of God's greatness, that is what we call glorifying God. How do you glorify God? Is you look at the fullness of who God is and you respond to it. That is what glorifying means. And so, if Satan can prevent you from looking at God and say, hey, look over here, look at this temptation over here, look at this suffering over here, look at this hardship that you have over here, and you stop looking at God, then you can't glorify God because you're no longer looking at God. You see, the battle to glorify God is all about where are you looking. This is the process of God being glorified, is when we have our perspective on God and then everything changes. You see, when we have our schedules and our priorities getting in the way of our view of God, then our attention is distracted and then we can no longer pray. We can no longer glorify God. And then some of us ask, why can I no longer see the presence of God in my daily life? It's because you're blocking the view. And so prayer is a lot about just getting things out of the way. What's distracting you right now? And I'm not just talking about time, but your attention, your perspective. This happens for us as individuals, but also as a church. Are there times where we get more attentive to something that is important, but it's not as important as looking at God? And so we always have to ask ourselves, where is our attention? It is very easy in times of challenge to wonder, where is God, and wonder if we'll ever see God. But the prophet Hosea, he says this in Hosea chapter 6. He says, stop what you're doing and acknowledge the Lord. Not just acknowledge him, but press on. Press in. Push for it. Stop what you're doing. Look for God, because he will show himself. Just like the rains surely come, God will show himself if you press into him. This is a guarantee from the Bible. If you take the time to really battle for, you know, your attention to focus on God, God will show up. And some of you today, maybe you know that your attention is not where it should be with God. And for me to even be a little strong, maybe you need to push on a little more hard, a little more. Maybe it's time for us to press on more. Stop being pushed around by the things of the world. I challenge you, along with myself, let us wrestle away our easily distracted hearts and minds away from the world and turn our attention back to God. You know, some of you folks have been very faithful for a long season, but for some of you right now, in this season, there's a lot of distractions. And I'm not saying this for everyone, but there are some here, and I want to say to you, it's time to just stop being pushed around by those distractions. Don't forget, God wants to see you. It's just going to require someone to just say, look, let's just stop this. I'm going to turn my attention to God. Prayer is a wrestling for our attention. The third thing, what is prayer? Prayer is about wrestling with our fears. Mark chapter 4, verse 19, it says this, "The worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful." Now, what is this? This is Jesus teaching in Mark chapter 4 about four different kinds of seeds. It's four ways that the word of God goes into people's hearts. And I thought this one was very interesting. Because Jesus talks about these different kinds of spiritual seeds that are planted in the hearts of people. But there's this one seed that actually grows. But after a certain point, it stops growing. It just stays the same. And why is that? Because what happens is that this seed grows, but then these thorns grow around it. And what these thorns do is that they keep it from growing anymore. And what is this? What are these thorns that Jesus talks about? Jesus says, these thorns are basically the worries of this life. The deceitfulness of wealth and the desire of other things. And basically, what does this mean? It means these thorns represent the fears of the world. The fear, will I get what I need in this life? You know? Will I have enough money? The fear of like hoping that I have enough to spend. Fear of what am I going to do with my life? Does God care about me? What am I going to do? Look at these things that are happening right now, the anxieties that come. And what ends up happening is that these fears just come around us like thorns and they choke us. And this is the interesting thing, is that this plant is not dead. It's just not growing anymore. Because it's somehow let this thorn bush grow up. And when you have these thorns around you, you cannot pray. Why is that? Because you are looking at the thorns more than looking at God. And what it needs to mean is we need to wrestle with our fears. Every day there are fears. You know, I share this with you know, in previous weeks too about, you know, the move that we have, Rhea and I, out to the West Coast, there's a lot of uncertainties. We still don't have a lot of things settled out. Every day I just kind of wake up thinking like, maybe I can just search the web some more. I don't know. Maybe I can just find an opportunity some more, do something some more. But there's so much out of my control. But I do know that I've been called by God to follow through with this decision, even though it is so hard. And so I have to wrestle with my fears. I have to say, look, am I going to trust my fear more than I trust God? Because if I trust my fears more than I trust God, then I will not grow. And you know, Satan, if Satan can't prevent you from like following God, the second best thing he does is he just wraps around you and prevents you from growing. Because that's just as useless. Before we know it, our lives can pass us by, and we can realize that we have made no bold steps to grow in faith because we have let the cares of this world choke us. If we're going to grow in our prayer lives, we must grow in learning how to cut the thorns of anxiety. Learn how to grow in wrestling with our fears. We must learn the practice of saying, God, teach me how to pray with joy and hope, not with fear and anxiety. I think it's appropriate to pray when we're scared. I think that's good. But you know, there's a prayer that comes out of desperation. And what you're really just doing, you're not really praying to God. You're just kind of just venting how scared you are. And it's all about you. You're just kind of thinking, I'm scared. And you can't hear the voice of God speaking to your fears. I think it's good to pray at all times, even when you're afraid. But there is a kind of prayer where you pray out of fear and desperation that it's not, there's no more faith in that. You're almost praying like not even expecting it to be answered. When we pray, do we believe that God can actually, you know, challenge our fears? He can chase them away. And so as I was saying, you know, prayer is about wrestling with our time, right? The first thing. The second thing, prayer is about wrestling with our attention. Number three, prayer is about wrestling with our fears. And the last one, and some say this is actually the hardest. The fourth, we must wrestle with our pride. Prayer is about wrestling with our pride. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 to 6 says this, "All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." You see, what Peter is trying to say here is that the people that God really works through are the humble. You know, I remember my father, he encouraged me from a young age when we were going through a hard time. We went through a lot of things that, you know, I think the world would look at and it looked like we kind of were failures. And it was very embarrassing. It was humiliating. And I remember my dad telling me, you know, Sam, we have to keep praying in times like this because we have to show them, and he was talking about the world, he says, we have to show the world that God answers prayer. I was so impressed by that. You know, in the midst of times where we feel like we failed, that we're discouraged, that we've gone down to a very discouraging time, we don't give up. We don't try and like put on a strong face and like show how good we are, how strong we are. Oh, I saw this coming. I know what's going on. We just humble ourselves and we say, you know what? Let's just go with this and show them that God answers the prayer of the humble. James challenges the people in his letter when he's writing. He says, you know what? You don't receive because you don't ask. And when you do, you don't get what you ask for because you ask for it selfishly. A life that's caught up in oneself, in one's priorities, and what I get out of it. If you start praying in this way, if you pray with this kind of pride, saying like, you know, God, only answer my prayer because I want to see what I get out of it, then don't be surprised that things don't happen. It feels, because when you pray like that, what you're basically praying is like, God, just answer the prayer that I can do for myself. And it's interesting how there's a correlation. When the people who struggle with prayer, often it's because we can't, it's because we think we can answer our own prayers. When we're too prideful, it's difficult for us to be caught up in something that is ineffective like prayer or unproductive, that so we think. It takes a great deal of humility to acknowledge that you can't answer your own prayer and that you're helpless before God. So many times we want to prove ourselves brave and strong. We want to prove ourselves qualified and capable. Especially in a city like DC, where everyone is overqualified, overcapable. Prayer is very insulting because it says, the answer, the power is not in me, but in God. There are even ways that we can be very spiritual. But we have to ask ourselves, just face to face before God, do I really believe that God is the strength and not me? When we are helpless before God, it's not an excuse for being inactive. But the truth is that God moves powerfully in those who honestly seek his higher wisdom and his greater strength. A life that's caught up in oneself and one's ability doesn't pray right, because prayer is all about letting go of what we think is right, letting go of what we think is the answer, and letting God provide, letting God guide. An encouragement for CCC, as wonderful as a church it is, this has really just been such a joy to pastor this church. But we have to acknowledge the reason that we've been here for more than 75 years is not because of what we've done. It's not because we were smart enough. It's not because we were savvy with investment. It's not because we were able to fundraise. It's because God humbly, God graciously used us. And if we were to think that, you know, somehow that's going to change, somehow starting this year, that's ridiculous. It's only by his grace. If we come up with pride thinking that we have the answers before we've sought them from God, then we've forgotten how God has built this church. We must surrender our pride. We must wrestle with our pride. There are times when our pride comes up, we must push it down. And so four types of wrestling. We must wrestle with our time, our attention, our fears, and our pride. And I want to encourage you with something that my mom would say to me. I've lived away from home for a long time. And, you know, we talk together and we share prayer requests all the time. And she always says, let us meet together in prayer. You know, I'll see you next time as we pray. And so, even though we're going to the West Coast, whenever we pray, we'll meet together in Christ, because we're all praying to the same place, and we will meet you there in prayer. So let us all join that big wrestling mat we call prayer. Let us be faithful to battle for prayer. You know, there are times where you're going to feel like you don't have time for it. You don't have the strength for it. You don't have the interest for it. But let's battle together, because you're not alone. We're with you. Saints of every generation are with you. Saints all over the world are with you. Let us keep wrestling, because we know that God moves mightily in prayer. The promise in James is that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Let us see that power and that effectiveness grow in our church, because we are people who battle in prayer. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we pray that in the season of prayer and fasting for the church, that you would help us, Lord, to just really wrestle with our time and our attention, our fears, and our pride, so that we may really be people of prayer. Lord God, I just pray against a spirit of guilt. Lord, the whole point of today is not to get, you know, be condemning to people, but to encourage us, God, that, Lord, you want to work with us in this battle for prayer. Lord, that you will give us the strength if we submit to you. And so, Lord, even today, on this wonderful holy day, this Sabbath, let it be a day of prayer. Let us not miss an opportunity to pray with our brothers and sisters. Lord God, we want to just acknowledge that we need you and we love you. And that, God, we're in good hands. We are in your hands. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your love and your grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.